Blog Talk Radio.
Grind. To get what you want to be, you know that you gotta grind.
Hey.
Also, major blessings to my rock, Michael Herndon, and also to my son. He in the studio today too, Nolan Herndon. Say hi, Nolan. And definitely to the best media station in the world, TTLO, taking the limits off with my engineerical guru, my media Yoda, because I said yoga, Reverend Dr. Dana King. And also our business executive, Latanya Melton, making sure everything is copacetic. Say hi, Dr. Dane.
Hi.
How's you doing? How's everybody?
I'm good.
You good? You good? Sound
ready.
Like you good.
Ready.
You know, I'm telling you, this eating has really gave us some more energy. I don't know about y'all, but I'm highly energetic.
Yeah.
Like Mike, he gets up now and he's up telling jokes. Before, on a normal day for Mike, he would go to sleep, but he would wake up so groggy, like he would have to literally force himself to wake up. So now he get up bright eyed and bushy tail. Your skin is lighter. I'm telling you, this eating process right here is getting us right for the new year. I plan on keeping it going. I mean, my appetite has changed, guys. I don't even want to eat anything wrong. And the reason why I say that now is because, like, when you're not eating a certain thing, like meat or something like that, when you really get back to doing that or get back to eating meat, you want the best. You don't want, like, McDonald's. Like, I can't see myself going back to McDonald's. I can't see myself going back to any of the fast food chains. Not to say they're bad, because they might want to be a sponsor one day. But but at the same time, you know, as I get older, my appetite is starting to change. Like, I call a cheat day eating sushi. That's a cheat day, you know.
Okay.
So, like, when I can get that TNT Dynamite sushi with the, oh, my God, I'm craving it
right
now.
So, is that, like, spicy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Yeah.
Yes, it's not that spicy, but it has a wonderful mellow kick to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, if you ever, I don't know, I call it loaded sushi. If you ever had loaded sushi, it's like it has all the stuff on it, along with like the scallions and the onions and the, they have scallops on there. And
on the sushi?
On the sushi.
Nice.
It's like it's loaded.
Okay. Okay.
The name of the place is called Miami Sushi. It's
okay.
Out in Schaumburg. But I'm telling you, sushi, fire. But let's get back down to the nitty gritty, right? So I got to give a shout out to my TTLO family. Why? Because we do big things all week. We kick off the week with Missional Mondays at 7 p.m. on Taking the Limits Off with Dr. Dana King, who gets you soul right in on Mondays. And then we get our minds right with Healthy Soul Talk at 6 p.m. with my girl, my sister, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Hey, Dr. Thomas. I know she's out there. I mean, she had an awesome show. I can't wait to get I still got to put my two cents in it. I'm just saying, guys, if you want to get right in every sort of way, like mentally, you just tune in to Healthy Soul Talk. I'm telling you guys, it was amazing. Then, of course, you got on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Grindology with your girl, where we get your business right, we get your professional life right, and then we close out our week with a Praise Break Friday at 7 p.m. Of course, back with Taking the Limits Off with Dr. Dana King. He likes to turn up on Fridays and act up, depending on who he is. Sometimes he just turn up all by himself.
Most of the time.
But then, like, when he has somebody, you know, that's an heightened energy, like when you got Pastor Harold Washington.
Right. Most of the time it's me in the couch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we be shouting. We have.
You just gone on with your bad self.
Yeah, and the Doritos box.
You said,
look at your neighbor and say February 4th. Huh?
February 4th.
You want your real.
That's when it's going to end, really, February 4th?
That's our first 30 days,
okay.
So you get to go get something. So, let me ask now while we're on the air. February 4th is a Tuesday. Do you want your rib tips Thursday, or are you going to be the messed up before Thursday? Okay.
He's actually doing good.
So you don't want the rib tips on Thursday? Or are you going to wait? So, Thursday, you want the rib tips? Okay, gotcha.
Look at him now. He's going to put that on the calendar.
February 4th.
He's going to put that on the calendar.
So, it's February 6th. When you get here, y'all get here early so you can eat.
Yeah.
Have it sitting.
Hey, I'm telling you, it's going down. It's going down. Yeah, I heard what he said.
I'm going to let y'all handle
it. But, yeah, God bless. But, I don't know about anybody else, but I feel energized and, like, focused. It's nothing like feeling energized and focused. So, definitely, guys, if you need advice or you have a professional question that you would like to ask, right here on Grindology, or if you're a business or a nonprofit who has an event or would like to, you know, promote your brand on Grindology or on TTLO, please feel free to message me in the Grindle or TTLO inbox or email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Once again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, or call into the station and ask your questions. We got a good topic today. 323-870-4375. Once again, 323-870-4375. So guys, before we get into our first break, let's get into the major grind of the week. And I just felt like, you know, with everything that has occurred throughout the week, with one of the greatest who have passed, definitely Kobe Bryant. I mean, I know we have talked about him so much, guys, and it's like still resonating in our hearts and in our souls. I don't know, you know, how long that's going to last. But I wanted to definitely give a blessed shout out to the Mamba Sports Foundation, which is focused on creating a positive impact through sports. Of course, it was the Mamba Sports Foundation, who was founded by Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa Bryant. And, I mean, it's just amazing to see the legacy in which, you know, Kobe Bryant has left, you know, onto the world. You know, like, he has impacted, right now I'm looking at the stats, he has impacted 9,817 youth from that one organization. 472 veterans from this organization, and wow, 1,000 plus volunteers. So shout out and big ups and many, many blessings over the legacy. One of the many legacies that Kobe Bryant left in this world, the Black, with the Mamba Sports Foundation. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing foundation, guys. If you ever want to sow, or if you ever, you know, feel like that you want to leave an impact or show any love or support, continue to support the foundations in which these particular individuals have founded for a reason, to make an impact into this world. So go on to MambaSportsAcademy.com if you want to leave a donation and impact the youth. One of their objectives is to provide underserved Southern California communities and individuals in diverse sports opportunities. They also strive to provide funding for underserved athletes to enable participation in schools and league sports, and also to their coaches operate with the Black Mamba, and I call it Black Mamba, but it's Mamba mentality, an ongoing system that develops skills, value hard work, and demonstrate a deep dedication to the process. I mean, if I would say that that's the epitome of what Kobe Bryant was, and to see him to sow into 10,000 youth lives where now they can focus on sports and use sports as an outlet and be able to hone in on their skills and their crafts, as well as develop the value of hard work. It is nothing, guys, like developing hard work ethics. I mean, that's one of the things. You know that he was definitely a hard worker, and you know that he loved the youth. So, like, just many blessings to, you know, the Bryant family for their loss, and I mean, major condolences and many prayers. So we're going to take our first break so I can make sure that everybody get in, because I'm telling you guys, this topic is awesome. I mean, it's an awesome, awesome topic. Today we're talking about how to effectively pitch your vision. Like, I know we're going into this new year, and everyone has these plans. They want to get these businesses off the ground. They want to get these visions off the ground. They want to get these ideas bubbling up into the world. Guys, I need you to just tune in, because I'm about to give you some nuggets that you can take so that you can effectively articulate your vision. I mean, you got to know how to talk to people. That's what my mom used to always say. You got to know how to talk to people. And as you know how to talk to people, you can effectively pitch your vision with these particular steps. So we're going to take one quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to get started with how to effectively pitch your vision. I mean, share this, guys, with your people who, you know, they come to you and they tell you about this vision, and by the time you get ready to leave that individual, you are so confused. You don't know if they wanted to start a business or if they wanted to sell now later. You don't know, but this is why I'm here. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you what is necessary so that we can be able to pitch our ideas to investors, to customers, and we can live this thing versus just only talking it. Stay tuned. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Grindology, where we study all things professional. Once again, I'm your girl, Lissette Herndon, and today's topic is how to effectively pitch your vision. As an entrepreneur or any type of professional who has a particular vision, sometimes we get so excited over the full picture. You know, having a vision is having the ability to see that full picture and see that end result. And sometimes we get so consumed by what we see in the future that a lot of times it makes it difficult for us to communicate what we have set before us. Like, you can't articulate it, because sometimes you'd be like, oh yeah, I got this vision. It's kind of like LinkedIn, Facebook with a little bit of Wheel of Fortune all mixed up into it. You know, can you see? And you try to paint that picture to someone, and as you're, and I know I have been one of the victims who have, I mean, one of the suspects who have actually did that. Like, I communicated an idea, like, say, for instance, Job Grind, before it became, you know, Grindr, it was Job Grind. And I would say, Job Grind is like Angie's List with Fiverr mixed into it. And anybody who knows what Fiverr is like a marketplace where you can get all kinds of like professional services done for the low. So I was like, oh, it's like Angie's List, because, you know, Angie's List had that strong referral base. And then I was like, and it's like Fiverr, but at the same time, I was like adding like five different elements. By the time I got through communicating what I would consider to be my pitch, I would confuse the hell out of a lot of people. And, you know, I love it. You know, if you pitch to your family, sometimes your family, they don't cut you any slack when you're trying to pitch something. I don't understand what you're saying, baby. What is that? What is Fiverr? What is, if they don't know it, they really kill your vision. But when it comes to like effectively doing it, how do we do that? How do we grab an individual's attention? How do we communicate those specific elements that keeps an individual engaged, but keeps you connected to that prospect customer or that prospect investor, or, you know, someone who you would like to network or engage with? How do we do that? How do we keep that particular thing going? So that's what we're talking about today. So let's get right to the meat of it. We're going to just get straight to the cut. What is the importance of having a pitch? You know, what is the importance of being able to pitch your vision? Why do we do that? It's because we want to be able to engage an individual into our vision, allow them to see what we have going on, where we're trying to go, where our direction is going, and, you know, and basically keep them connected to us. If you lose an individual through a bad pitch, it's like, it's hard to recover from that. It's hard to get someone engaged. So first impressions means a lot. And what's the importance of being able to articulate a vision? The importance of articulating a vision is for you to, one, have a clear understanding within yourself, right? I feel like starting a vision, it starts with yourself, right? Being able to articulate it is also a process of confidence. Like, if I can articulate my vision clearly so that you can understand in whatever element that you fall in connection with my vision, then it makes it all the better. It makes me confident. It makes me sure about what I'm communicating, and it also makes me, like I said, continue to engage. So here's an important piece, guys, that I seen, that I actually read when it came to identifying a good pitch. The first thing is engage and inspire. You have to engage and inspire. And I know what you ask. What do you mean by engage and inspire? So you have two different types of people that you tend to pitch to, right? The first one is the protectors. Now, this is a funny group. Now, like with anything, anyone who has a particular, financial investment in your vision, they tend to be more protective of how they connect with you. When you have a protector, that's the individual that's a little leery about going in or buying into your vision. So you have to make sure that, you know, have you ever had that time, guys, like when someone came up to you and tried to sell you something and it seems a little bit risky or seems a little bit shady or seems a little bit uncomfortable, but at the same time, they're selling you to be able to, you know, get money. You know, they'll sell to you. So think about this. And I know this is way back in the day, guys, so I'm going to tell my age. Have you ever got off the L and somebody tried to sell you a chain? A herringbone. Now, a herringbone chain, has anybody, I'm just saying from my people from Chicago who have grew up in Chicago, have you ever got off the L and was sold a piece of jewelry?
Get you some gold, my brother.
I mean, I think that has happened to me twice. One with a herringbone and one with a link chain. So
that would be a Figaro.
Yeah, a Figaro chain. But have you ever been sold a chain on the street in Chicago? I didn't buy one,
but I've had the opportunity several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guy, he comes up to you, right? Hey, little sis. Mm-hmm. Little sis, I got this chain.
This will look good with that fit. This will look good with that fit you got on, man.
It'll look good with
all
that outfit.
All you need is this right here, man.
It'll look good with that outfit you got on.
Right.
So here's the thing. I'm not going to throw shade at the salesman because he has sold me a chain before. First thing he does is what? Like you said, reach out and do a connection.
Yep.
And then he'll turn around and say, "Well, yeah, you know, this look good." He'll probably put it up against your shirt. If it's the summertime, you probably, you know, engage in it. So he'll put it up against your shirt, and he's like, you know, yeah, it'll look good on you, you know, and this is that and other. What else does he do?
Oh, man, this real. I'm sure it's real, man. Hold on. Let me grab my lighter.
I swear that is exactly what he does. He ensures the person that he's selling to that it's real, that what I'm giving you, that what I'm selling to you is real, and I'm going to back it up. I'm going to put a lighter to this thing. Now, what's happened was so funny. The man put a lighter to it, and it popped right in his face. I said, "Thank you, God. Look at God. You see how God worked that thing? He'll bring the fakeness out of it in a minute." But they do that. And then after that, he keeps you engaged. How does he keep you engaged? He continuously talks to you. He continuously relate to you. Mm-hmm. He continuously engage with you until eventually you trust him. You trust what he's trying to sell you, even though he's like, this is a dude off the street. We all know that he was shady. His approach was shady, but this is a dude off the street. Mm-hmm. And he turned around and sold you that chain. Crazy analogy, guys, but at the same time, that's how we are, or that's how we should be when it comes to having a pitch. When I talk about pitching, I don't mean buttering up some rich investor so that they can, you know, hand you this great big wad of money and get you. For me, pitching is about storytelling. It's about being clear and engaging that story with the people so that they can listen. That's what a pitch really is. That is the bottom line. That's the main goal of a pitch. That's the bottom line of having a pitch, so that you can get the individual that you're communicating to listen. So here's the thing, guys. Too many people, you know, just drone about the idea as like, you know, it's just something that, you know, if I just tell someone about my vision, they're not going to pay attention anyway. They're going to be bored with it. They're going to lose interest. And, you know, so it doesn't make any difference to communicate with them in the first place. But I totally, totally disagree. Your pitch needs to be so good that you keep people awake. Don't ramble on about a bunch of stuff that, you know, the specifics. Like, don't ramble so much about the details of your pitch. Be straight to the point. Give the individual enough so that they can listen, that you keep them, oh, this is what, you have to say the right things. You have to be strategic in communicating a pitch. You can't talk about, you know, all the struggles that you have with the pitch. You can't talk about all the in-betweens or where you think you want to go. And another thing, guys, you have to be careful with your terminology, right? When you're doing a pitch, you have to be able to communicate with confidence. You can't communicate with, I hope, I wish, well, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, trying is not a good, you know, conversation when it comes to selling a pitch or selling your vision. Talking about ifs, ands, and maybes, you have to eliminate it. So it is definitely. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about one of the major components of producing your pitch or executing your pitch. One of the major components is identifying the problem. Identifying the problem. And just like I said, like, you know, with the dude off the street trying to sell you the chain, you have to have a shared reality. A shared reality is a process in where you have a way of communicating that where that individual understands you.
Okay.
So, like, say, for instance, when it comes to the man selling the chain, the shared reality was, oh, the chain looks good on you. Let me lay this up against your shirt so you can see it glisten and shine and show it like gold. And then you look down and you're like, oh, yeah, you know what? That is nice. This is pretty nice. I like the way it looks. See, that's what I said. And at that same time, that's how you connect. Shared reality is the connector. What is it about your vision? What is it about your business that you're starting? What is it about your nonprofit that you're starting that connects the individual? You know, really, 9 times out of 10, it's the problem. You know, identifying that problem and making that problem, how can I say, relate. Relate in a way where that person can engage. 9 times out of 10, I've seen a lot of people who do it. They talk about the problem and how it affected them personally. When you can talk or state the problem and bring yourself into the problem or how the problem bothered you initially and how you felt about it and what did you want to do about it and how you wanted to make the change about it, it draws other people in. And it also adds a level of credibility. You know, when you can get a person to relate to your problem, it's wonderful, wonderful. So it says generally it's about information overload and lack of structure. So when we talk about something we're passionate about, it is very easy to lose ourselves in the story. So you want to tell a story, but you don't want to make it too personal where it draws the individual away. You know, what I call doing the most. You don't want to do the most. You just want to give enough that gives that individual a nice little glimpse at how that problem affected you. So that is major. And then it says, we bounce from idea to idea and focus on irrelevant details. You can't focus on irrelevant details. I mean, because just like if it's irrelevant to you, 9 times out of 10 is going to be irrelevant to the person you're communicating it to. So make sure that the details that you're communicating in your pitch as you're communicating about the problem is relevant. We were just talking about like how an individual, when we have a particular platform, how it's so easy to talk about things that are irrelevant and not true. You know, you don't want to get that person, the individual that you're trying to connect to, your customer or, you know, whoever it is, whether it's the investor or the customer, you don't want to get them to a point where they lose, where you lose the connection. And having too much to say, overloading them with unnecessary information will be the first drop in the connection. Mm-hmm. So then it also says, in our heads, we think we're delivering a monologue that even Dr. Martin Luther King would be jealous of. Like, we want to give this, and I'm telling you guys, I am like the individual who has done this before. I know I have lived it. I have given individuals a glimpse of my dream. And like I said, I'm so passionate about it. It does feel like a monologue. It does feel like I'm doing the I Have a Dream speech, because it's like, it's this problem. I want to solve world hunger. I want to, you know, get every child off the block and into a better school. Yeah, in your heart, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
In your soul, that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're communicating a pitch, especially to an investor, and we were just talking about this in my class yesterday, especially to an investor, you want to be able to communicate based on the audience. So when you're pitching, identify who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, this is the thing that I love what they say. When you deal with a protector, which is one of the individuals that you engage with, you have to earn their trust. Because a protector, they have their money like this. It's tight. They got their They don't want to get... Have you ever asked one of your uncles or something for some money? Now, I'm going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, if you have to ask your own uncle for $5 and he treats you like, you know, one of them, like...
Like a loan shark.
Right, like a loan... Now, I don't play about my money. Those are the protectors, the individuals that tend to be your customers that you're trying to, you know, sell or pitch your idea to or
mm-hmm.
your business to,
mm-hmm.
and they don't trust you. They don't trust what you're saying. So in communicating and identifying that when you communicate and knowing that that's who you're talking to, someone you know that really don't trust you right now, they think that all you're trying to do is go into their pockets. They think that after they purchase whatever they're purchasing from you, at the end of the day, they're going to feel like they, you know, they got cheated.
Mm-hmm.
You have to earn that individual's trust. It's important. It's important. So that's the protector.
That's good.
The next one, the next type of individual that you're also identifying is the innovator. The innovator is the one that, you know, they see the new and the good and what you're trying to, you know, offer, and they connect that way. They're not worried about so much about the money as much as they are worrying about or more concerned about what you're doing and how, you know, and how is it new? How is it exciting? How is it going to impact the, you know, the world? How is it going to impact, you know, my community? And the innovator, when it comes to communicating or pitching your idea, your vision to them, you need to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to inspire their trust, not earn their trust, but inspire their trust.
That's good.
And that is really rich. When I seen that, I was like, oh yeah, that is absolutely true. You only deal with two, the ones that don't trust you and the ones that are interested if it's new or if it's trendy or if it's, you know, something that's different and it stands
mm-hmm.
out. So those are the two people. You have to make sure that when you're identifying that, you see a protector, the way you communicate your pitch and the way that you deliver your pitch has to be on the level where you earn their trust.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you can't do is to constantly try to push the sale.
Ah, okay.
If you try to constantly push the sale, they're going to become more and more disconnected with you and pretty much going about their business. Yeah, I gotta pray about it. Yeah, I gotta talk to my husband about it. Every excuse that you could think of.
I'm gonna call you back.
I'm gonna talk to you later. And you know, anything that they can do to get you out the way so they can be like, no, you ain't gonna get my money. That's not going to happen. But earning their trust is being able to identify the problem, identify the solution to that problem, keeping them connected, and then after the fact, start, you know, putting your portfolio out there.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you sold to? You know, if it's someone that they're connected to, you know, bring that level of connection. You know, you know, Sister Mary down the street, I mm-hmm. sold it to her and she said that she liked it. If you want, you can ask her, you know, the next time, you know, you come to church. Or, you know, I sold it to, you know, I did my coworkers wedding event and she thought it was wonderful. Give them points where they can also seal the trust by verifiable evidence. Mm. You have to have evidence when it comes to creating that pitch. And I know you're like, listen, that's a lot. That's a lot. But guess what? If you're starting a business, you got to already have this thing set. You got to already know exactly who you're communicating with. You got to know exactly the problem that you're trying to solve. Mm-hmm. You got to know exactly, you know, how it, that problem relates to yourself as well as the individual that you are communicating or pitching to. So, I mean, you got to do it. You got to do it. And you got to have people, you got to engage people to the point where they sit up and they listen to you. Like, oh, let's talk about what she got to say. You know, she sound like she know what she's talking about. Let's go ahead and connect with her and see what she's saying and what she's talking about. But those are some major elements. Define the problem. Create a shared reality. The next area is to explain your solution. Mm. So either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution, right? So you, as you're having this whole communication, after you share the reality of it, you connect with that person's engaged. Like, you know what? You're right. I've been feeling the same way. Yeah, you know, we don't have a adequate school system in our community. Let's, you know, yeah, I'm engaged with that. But how are you going to solve that issue? Yeah, it is an issue. It is a problem. It's a problem that affects me. It's a problem that affects my grandchild. It's a problem that affects my son, my daughter. But how are you going to resolve that particular issue? So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get back to that particular aspect. Now, we've already created the connection, right? We've already defined the problem. So we're articulating this. We already know who we're communicating with. We know that there's protectors out there that are going to be real tight on giving you their money. And then you got the innovators who probably won't even engage with you unless it's something that's new, trendy, and exciting. But then after that, and you have explained that problem, you have pitched it to them, you have connected them, now how are you going to explain, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to make it better? Why is what you're selling me or what you're pitching to me valuable to me, to my family, valuable enough for me to give you my money? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back to Grindology, where we study all things professional. Today, guys, we're talking about how to effectively pitch your vision. It is so important that when you have a vision that you articulate it, that you communicate and deliver it in a way that it grabs the individual's attention, that it grabs you, it causes people to listen, it causes people to engage with what you have to say. So we're talking about the elements already, like, that are important, those major keys of pitching a successful vision. So one of the areas that we definitely talked about was the importance of having a shared reality. You have to create a shared reality. They say some of the best businesses were built by founders scratching their own itch. So, like, when you found yourself, and this is so true, a lot of times you are that person, you are the individual that, you know, whatever I'm trying to solve, I had that same issue. And I managed to solve that issue with whatever structure, whatever process, whatever product that I created. And now I want to share that particular service, product, or whatever with you to help solve the same problem that you might have that I had. So it says some of the best businesses were built by founders scratching their own itch. Now, also, you have to define the problem. We were just talking about that. And it's so important to deal with problems that matter. You know, that's how you really engage with individuals. If the problem matters to you, most of the time it'll matter to someone else. So you have to focus on the problems that matter. I mean, it's one of those things that is very important. So it says that we're trying to stop lifestyle entrepreneurs like us from being isolated and alone in the business world that was motivated purely by money and growth. Like, it is so important. Like, sometimes when we have these visions, guys, and as entrepreneurs, sometimes we feel like we're all alone. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, we can't connect with a person, place, or thing. I'm telling you, it is so true. Like, we can't connect with anyone. But one of the things about having a pitch and being able to deliver that pitch is that you can find a common denominator. I ain't said that all the time. You know, you say that sometimes and it gets jumbled up. Common denominator with that particular individual, you know, or that person or that investor. When you relate and connect, I'm telling you, it is important. So now we're getting to the good part, guys. Like, you have stated the problem. You have connected the individual, the person, whatever, with that problem. Now, how do we explain the solution? How are you going to fix it? Now, when you talk to a protector, someone who has their money tight in their hand and don't want to give it to you unless you earn their trust, you have to be able to explain how you're going to solve the solution. Now, you can't hold back. That's one thing. You can't hold back. Whatever you plan on solving, you got to come straight. You can't say, well, you know what? I hope to solve this by doing this. No, you got to have some verify. I'm going to fix your issue. Probably like in the sister girl. I'm going to fix your issue by, you know, putting those edges on. Something like that. You know, you have to, like, I'm telling you, you have to find that solution. So here's the thing, right? Be super confident. And that's what I was basically trying to say, guys. Be super confident about the value you create. You cannot communicate or pitch anything to anyone without confidence. You have to know, like my pastor said, you have to know within your knower. She always says that. You have to know within your knower that what you're offering is of value that will actually solve the problem. You can't go in hoping. You can't use terminology like I guess. You can't be insecure about your value because it shows. If you come to someone scared and wishy-washy, I promise you they're going to see it. So find a way to be able to pitch your vision with the confidence of what you know, not what you're trying to figure out. Don't communicate that. Whatever you're trying to figure out is none of their business. What their business is to the individual that you're pitching to is what you know, what you are sure about, what you have tested, what you have came to a conclusion on, what you know, like right now, what I have right now will be able to serve you. Think about it from the small aspects. One of the things we were talking about in my class yesterday was how it's important to start with what you have. Don't pitch from an aspect of where you want to be. Pitch from an aspect of where you are. And this is the reason why I say this, guys, why it's so important for you to pitch where you are is because when it's time for you to deliver, say, for instance, you have pitched to this individual and now this person wants your service. This person wants your product. This person wants to do business with you. If you have pitched from the future, you might not be able to deliver what you just said. And what happens is now you're over promising and underperforming. When you do that, guys, you will lose a lot of people. Because if you're engaging me from where you want to be, and me as an individual, as a person who wants that service, come to you, and now I'm hoping that you're going to give me exactly what you've pitched, and you don't, you have lost me, and you have lost everybody that I could have referred you to. And for me, guys, that is huge. You know, sometimes you got people that you just can't please, right? You know, but at least if you're transparent and honest from the aspect of what you can deliver now. You know, I might can't, you know, give you the Bentley of this service right now, but what I can do is give you this. Is it reliable? Yes. Does it solve the issue or the problem that you're trying to solve? Yes. I was just having a meeting today, a business meeting with a software company who is trying to get like global services, like try to partner with me for global services. So I know specifically what I need. We go into that initial conversation of what they call before we had the meeting, their pitch. So they're pitching the whole process. They're letting me know how they can be able to resolve the issue. And when I, you know, going through the process, I was like, you know, yeah, you know, it does solve the issue. You know, does it do all the grandiose things that I may want it to do in the future? No. But does it solve the issue? Yes. And was they transparent enough to let me know from this aspect, this is how we solve your problem? From this simplistic way or simplistic process, this is how we solve your problem? Yeah. And did it allow me to trust them even more versus them trying to oversell me on something that they didn't have? Definitely. Because one thing, like I said, when it comes to a protector, when you lose a protector's trust and they got that money, you have lost them. You have definitely lost them. So don't hold back. Understand what your value is. Understand where you're actually, you know, like how to communicate effectively with what you have right now. You might not have nothing but a nickel and a nail, guys. I'm telling you. You might not have nothing but $2 in your pocket. But guess what? If you can make the best out of what you have and still be able to produce with excellency, still be able to produce and make that nickel and a nail work, do it from that level. People respect you more. You don't have to sell a dream. You just have to sell your vision. It's a difference. It is truly, truly a difference. Now, here's the thing. Going back to sharing your vision, you want to polarize opinions rather than sound bland and unforgettable. I'm just sitting there, I'm tripping, guys, because he was about to kick it off. You want to polarize opinions rather than sound bland and unforgettable. What I mean by that is that when you pitch your vision. You want to create a picture. You want to be able to have that picture embedded in the individual that you're pitching to, whether it's an investor or whether it's a customer. 9 times out of 10, if you at this point sharing your vision with an investor, that means that you have kept them there long enough to want to know more about you. So share your vision. You have to share. You have to create that picture. Now that they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I do understand that that is a problem. Yeah, you know what? I am interested in your solution. Your solution sounds real. It sounds, you know, it will definitely solve the problem. So what is your whole purpose of this? You know, what is your purpose behind this? What is your goals? And they're engaged and you got them locked from that point. I swear, guys, you better go for what you know. But create the picture. But don't start, you know, one thing, guys, that I have to be transparent. I have to tell my testimonies, right? I have gotten there. I have communicated and did the shared reality and connect. And then I told the problem, and the problem was spot on. I was able to connect and keep that connection. And I told my solution and was able to keep that connection. And then when they talk about the vision, I just get into this whole, like, everything. I just start throwing up everything. What I plan on doing tomorrow and 10 years from now in the next 20 seconds. I don't know how it happened. It's not realistic, guys. It doesn't. You find yourself tripping, and now you find yourself looking stupid at the end of the day, like, oh, did I say all that? It wasn't necessary. And by that time, they're like, oh, okay. You know, they give me their business card, and they keep it moving. One thing I've learned when it comes to sharing your vision, after you have engaged, make it quick and to the point. If an individual wants to know more about it, you have to give them a call to action. And what I consider a call to action, if they're engaged at this point and you have an investor and you have, and they told you about, and you know, now they're ready to know more about your vision, you have to be able to share it, but also keep it to the point where, okay, how about I set up a schedule a meeting with you? You know, you want to be prepared. You don't want to just start blurting out. Now that you have that individual there, keep them connected. Don't lose the connection by just trying to give them everything all at once. Give them enough. Give them your heart. Let them see what that vision is. Yes, you know, my vision is to take this problem and do this solution in hopes to make this type of impact. It's important. Clear, cut, to the point. Some people say it's an elevator pitch. Yeah, you have those elevator pitches. It's the summarized version of all those different elements in probably like 2 or 3 sentences. But when you're pitching from an aspect of identifying who you're speaking with, share the reality with that individual, create the not even create the problem, but state the problem, create the solution, and then share the vision. This is where I'm looking to. You might get collaborators. You might get partners. You might get individuals that want to hear a lot more about what you have to offer, and that's when you start giving them the heat. I call it the heat. That's when you start giving them the numbers, the statistics, and bringing out the data, and you know, and really telling them, like, this is where we are. Like, let's talk about sales. Now, sometimes you might not have that opportunity, especially if you have someone like a heavy hitter that has millions of dollars. They might want to hear that stuff right there in the dough. You have to be prepared. I heard if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. You heard me, guys. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. But when it comes to just doing a simple pitch, guys, just keep it clean, cut, and to the point. You know, create that vision. You know, paint the picture without giving them all the strokes. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're doing a painting, they don't know all the little elements that it might. They don't know the color scheme that it takes to create the flesh. They don't know all the little brush techniques. They don't need to know the brush techniques. They don't need to know what colors you had to combine to create the picture. All they need to know is that you create it, and then you get the image, and you bring it to life. So that is important. So guys, I want to make sure that if you have any questions that you, if you want to know, if you have a pitch, and you want to see if it's valid, if you want to see if you need to add something or take away something, you know, in the midst of it, send it over to me. You know, just put it in the inbox and just let me know who you are and just say, Lissette, you know, just listen to my pitch. Let me see what I can, you know, if it's good. Does it sound good? You know, what do I need to add? What do I need to take away? You know, what do I need to express? How do I make the best when I'm communicating my vision? Because I'm telling you guys, your vision has value. It has a purpose. It has an assignment. And you have to be able to articulate that to individuals, whether it's a person with a lot of money and whether it's a person with $2 in their pocket. You got to be able to pitch it. And guys, I am so, so hopeful and so excited about everyone's vision. I don't know. That's what Grind will do. We study all things professional. So I love everyone's vision because I know it has a particular purpose. But send me those pitches. Send those pitches over here and let me see what is going. Where's my pitches? Where's my pitches? I'm just saying, guys, send them over and, you know, and let's connect. I mean, I want to help you out. I want to see what you got. I want to, you know more about your vision, because I'm telling you guys, there's a lot of people out here that might share the same vision as you. You might want to connect, you know. I'm telling you, collaboration is good, but that's a whole nother topic. Anyway, that's how I close out today, guys. In order to stay effective in delivering your vision, you have to make sure that you have a shared reality. You got to have, it's so crazy. You have to identify the problem. Tell the problem, tell it. And then you got to have that solution. These are the elements of your pitch. I'm just saying, that was just so crazy just listening to this song. I feel like I'm in the juke joint. Why you got to put the juke joint in my... You know what, guys? I don't even know. Like, every time I try to end on a good note, they want to end me like I'm in a hole in a wall. But anyway, share reality. Have the problem. Have the solution and share your vision out here, guys. Tell me what these pitches are. You know, let me help you out with your pitches. And I just, guys, until next Thursday, because I'm like done right now. They playing Last $2 on my show. I'm just saying. And I don't even know who came up, but somebody came up that looked like that was his song. Like, yeah, that's my song, these Last $2. But guys, take whatever you have and make it great, because at the end of the day, we're going to respect your grind, so respect mine. Until next Thursday, I love you guys. Be safe out there.
Grind. To get what you want to be, you know that you got to grind. Grindology. Phrenology, hey.
Phrenology,
phrenology,
baby.